here this morning, and as you take place, we're going
to start with our songs of worship. And before I do that, I'd like to make some brief announcements. You have received these, the church bulletin, and within the church bulletin is the happenings. Three things are there for you to notice on our church family. On Wednesday, we have a comparative religion Bible class, and I encourage all the young people to come in and to learn what the Bible says and what religion says prior to prayer meeting. It will be great for the young people. Last Wednesday, I have the young people with me in my office, and we studied the human body and in comparison, right with the television, with the screen and the monitor, and oh, we did a great study. I want to take care of the young people on Wednesday. And then at 4 o'clock, our meeting at 4 o'clock, also 4 to 5:30, the young people with the pastor at 5:30, good pizza and salami and cheese, all right? And I'm going to talk to some of the parents for this, and we're going to have a great time. Adults are welcome to come. You sit around the young people. They sit with me on the table. And then two new series of studies, the one on Wednesday, and God's willing, the coming Sunday, on March 7 will be the studies on the book of Leviticus, the first sermon on that. Now, remember that, and the gentlemen here, they tell me that the Boy Scout of America, they will meet here on the 6th, Saturday, the 6th, Boy Scout of America, 10 years up, right here in the auditorium, and read in your home 1 Corinthians 7:22. Boy Scouts of America, right here on Saturday, March 6th at 9:30 in the morning. All right? So, or 9 o'clock. We say 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock in the morning. All right. A doctor wrote this, so I got to, you know, a doctor gave me the thing. So, at 9 o'clock in the morning, please. It's amazing how the church is shaping up for the young people in a wonderful way, and we are thanking the Lord. Now we're going to praise the Lord. The hymns are right here, and my assistant is sick, but a super assistant is over there, and you can see this. And so let's turn to our hymn books, please. Number 417 is the first.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, hear our prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. We want to thank you, Lord, for your love and care, for giving us knowledge of the Almighty, and trusted us with the message of the gospel, a message of hope and peace. We also like to remember our missionaries across the world. Ruth and Carol Knott in Spain. Eusebio and Marixa Perez in Spain and Malaga. Carol and Fred Lewis in Ukraine. Irene and Ruben Zahert in Lodi. And the Crisis Center in Morgan Hill. And Father, I just talked to one of our listeners on the phone, and I want to pray for Laura Feistel, who is also in Madrid, in Spain, the daughter of one of our listeners as a missionary. Father, bless them with your power to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to be an example of the life of Christ in themselves, so others can see what Christ can do with us. Protect them from the evil one, and fill them with wisdom and love. We pray for our nation, and we are reminded in the scripture that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, we confess to you, we are your people. Heal our land. Restore our land to the splendor of the glory of honesty and integrity. We need it, O Father. Heal our president's heart. Give him a heart of repentance, Lord. We pray for ourselves that we too be changed from day to day in the image of Christ, as the scripture says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Father, we pray for those in our church family who need thy touch of mercy. We pray for the Feistel family in Carmel, for Forrest and his critical sickness of heart trouble, for Anthony Laurel, our young fellow who is sick at home. Lord, we pray for Cindy Trout as she is expecting a new baby. Protect her. And for Marilyn Dulillo, Lord, these are precious moments in their life as they expect another baby into the family. Lord, we pray for homes in which children need to be saved. How many of us have children who are not saved, and because of that, there is trouble and headaches and problems. And Father, we pray that you will, in mercy, reach their heart and convert their soul. And now, Father, as we begin our worship service, we are reminder of the scripture that says that God wants us to worship him and worship him in his spirit and in truth. So, Father, first, as we worship you, bless our offering, that we may bring this offering to your presence as a part of our worship service. And, Lord, we also pray that you will bless the word as the word is going to be read in a few minutes. And, Father, we pray that you will bless the choir as they're going to praise you with a whole heart. And when all is done and accomplished, we are careful to give thee the honor and the glory, in Christ Jesus, our beloved Savior. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Now we're going to take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 678. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Jonah, chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down into the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observest lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I have sacrificed unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because of thy mercy upon our souls through the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now as we look again, Almighty God, unto Jonah, as we see he failed to be obedient unto thee, and thou caused calamity in his life. But yet in the mercy and grace he knew that you were a merciful and forgiving God. He cried out, as we cry out, O God, for our failures and for our shortcomings, for thy mercy and grace that thou hast bestowed upon us. May you correct our ways, Almighty God, and lead us into thy will and thy mercy by the power of thy Spirit, and help us to glorify thy holy name in our lives. We pray for our pastor, O Lord God, Gabriel Otero, your servant, as he proclaims the gospel today. We pray, O Lord God, as thy word goes out, for those who do not know you, that you may call them into thy kingdom. And for those that have failed you, may you strengthen them, O Lord God, to overcome and glorify thy name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Our scripture for our meditation this morning is found in the book of Jonah, chapter 2. So if you keep your Bible open in Jonah, we will find most of the reference to refer to as we meditate upon God's word. Jonah was called by God to carry a special message to a special people. If you look in Jonah chapter 1, and in verse 1, the Bible says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. So Jonah was called by God to carry a special message to the people of Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh were the archie enemy of the people of Israel. And God, to solve the problem between Israelites and Chaldeans or Iraq, he sent a preacher. And he sent a preacher to preach the gospel to them. You think the preacher will be excited, or maybe scared a little, but excited about it. But nevertheless, Jonah rebelled against God, causing evil to those around him. I want you to listen to this. Jonah rebel against God, disobey the Lord, and because he disobeyed the Lord, he caused evil not only to himself, but to all of those people around him. Look with me in chapter 1 again, and look in verse 3 and in verse 4. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. If you know the map, Tarshish is what Malaga, the port of Malaga, is today in Spain. And from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he bade the ferry thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And look at verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Jonah was commissioned by God to do certain work, and Jonah took the liberty, Jonah was a man of God, of course, and he took the liberty to say no to God. Hear? Jonah knew what was right. At the time in which Jonah lived, God will speak eye to eye to his people, to his prophets. Today, God speaks from his word, the Bible. And Jonah understood clearly what God wants to, because rather than going north to Tarshish, he goes east all the way to Spain. He disobeyed the Lord. He thought he can get away with it. Rather, he caused trouble to his life, trouble to the people around him. He caused a disaster only because he disobeyed the Lord. Well, Jonah was judged then by his people over there and by God. His mates and the people and God judged him. Let me read it for you in chapter 1, starting in verse 8. The people in the boat said to him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" As you know, in those times, you need no passport, see? Otherwise, these people will know everything about Jonah, but no passport, where you don't have to spell the beans and say, "I'm going to do this and do the other." And so Jonah walked on the ship, and I go to a foreign country, and that's it. So verse 9, "And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord and the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land." He gave a testimony. That's amazing. Even in disobedience, a child of God is still a child of God and give a testimony on his life. Verse 10. "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he hath told them." And maybe a lunchtime or maybe in a breakfast, some moment on the ship, he told some people, "You know, I'm going to Spain, but I don't care because I'm going away from the Lord." And so in verse 11, "They say unto him, What shall we do with thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was extremely rough." Verse 12, "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me from forth into the sea." In other words, judge me, dismiss me. "So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you." Jonah was a man of integrity. You know, you can argue about Jonah. I like Jonah. You can argue about Jonah all you want to, but he was a man of integrity. He said, "You know something? I blew it. So this is it. It's me. I wish our president would be like that. You know, it's me. Just throw me into the sea." Verse 13, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was rough and was tempest against them. Verse 14, wherefore they cry unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. See, each time we disobey the Lord, we cause problems in our family, we cause problems in our neighborhood, we cause problems in our nation. Believe me, if you're a child of God, you're a very influential person. For good or for bad. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah, cast him for into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Jonah was a man of influence, in this case, a negative influence. He showed the man that if you disobey the Lord, you cause trouble. Jonah's life changed. And he went into Nineveh. And he preached the word into Nineveh. And the king and his court and the people of Nineveh became believers. For Jonah's life to change, something must happen. What causes that change, that finally Jonah said, wait a minute, I better obey God. What caused that change? Before Jonah's change, God has to get his attention. And that's the topic that I want to talk to you today. Before Jonah's life changed for good, God has to get his attention. So last Sunday's sermon, if you thought it was a little tough, this one is super tough. Last Sunday's sermon was to just get you on the ground. And I have last Sunday's sermon and this sermon for believers only. I know this. The God has to do something in our life in order to get his attention. I hope it's not to the extremes of Jonah. Let's see three things in Jonah. Jonah's distress, first. Then Jonah's death, second. And then Jonah's deliverance, third. Jonah's distress, Jonah's death, and Jonah's deliverance. Let's see his distress. Well, in verse 17 in chapter 1, we have the captivity of Jonah. Now the Lord hath prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Have you girls been in a fish belly? Never? All right. If you're in a fish belly, you cannot get out. See, there is something about what happened on the fish. A fish can swallow, but never can spill out. You know that? A fish can swallow, but it cannot spill out. So, here is Jonah inside the fish. No way out. There is no way. There is no conduit to get out. It was a total captivity. Jonah went so bad to do what he wants to, that finally God isolated him to a position where he can do nothing. Have you been like that? That you disregard the commitment to God, and God little by little bring trials to your life where he isolates you, where you can do nothing. The chastisement of Jonah. Look in verse 17 again. Second part of verse 17 said, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. What a picture of the Lord Jesus, no? What a picture of the Lord Jesus. So, 3 days and 3 nights, and I explained the people on Wednesday, the young people, I explained them that when God made the universe, he made a day and he made a night. We call, today, and we think a day is 24 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, a day is only 12 hours. Thank God for computers. Today, I read in the computer, today is going to be 11 hours, 51 minutes, and 30 seconds, the day. So when the Bible says day and night, it's because giving you complete information. God has made the day and has made the night. Together, the day and the night makes a complete what we call a day. And he was there 3 days inside the fish. And he saw all the other fish that come in that this fish was eating. And he's moving around and very uncomfortable. Can you imagine, girls? It's like God isolates you and he brings trial and trial and pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure. And you move around and you want to avoid this and avoid the other, but you can't. You are now in the hands of a mighty God and you cannot escape. Now what do you do? Well, finally, God got his attention. What do you think Jonah is going to do? He's in a dead belly. He have nothing to do, nowhere to go, and the days are getting crazy. And he had no solution of himself. He can do nothing of himself. He is tied up to a point that that's it. Well, look in chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed. Bethel Baptist Church, do you hear it? Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God. From where? From the belly of the fish. And how wonderful. And why did he pray? Well, verse 2 tells you why he prayed. Say, I cry by reason of my affliction. See, when God called him and said, Jonah, get in this white horse and go to Nineveh up north and preach over there and get your nice suit and go through the city and do this and I'm with you. He would not listen. Jonah, be my witness. He don't care. So God said, I want to get your attention. And some of us are so stubborn that God has to isolate us and lose everything we have before we pray. Isn't that something? He prayed. He prayed not because he was a prayer man. He prayed. Look at these. Jonah did not pray during the storm. He was on the storm and the thing, he knew the things were coming bad. He did not pray during the storm. Jonah did not pray as the shipmates exposed him as a rebel when they told him what you have done. He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, let me pray. No, he confessed his faith. He was theologically right, but his heart was really tough. And I'm going to do what I want to, and that's it. I speak for in Bethel Baptist Church. You're heading for bad moments. Jonah did not pray as he was tossed into the ocean. Can you imagine on the border of the ship? And it's 1, 2, 3, go! And he did not pray even that way. Boy, if we are, the Bible called the people of God stiff-necked people. Jonah prayed. When, said the Bible? By reason of my affliction. When he saw there was no way out. When he saw that there is no other solution than God. God said, oh, I'm glad you're here. I'm here. Look at what verse said. God hear him. If I'm God, I let him a little more. But no, God hear him. God hear him. He said, the Bible said that God hear when Jonah, the child of God, said, it's me, God. Look at what I am. Oh, God said, all right. Now, Jonah, nice to talk to you. God has to get his attention. And he did. If you are a child of God, you cannot go too far from him. He gets your attention. Sometimes gets his attention by you losing your job. Sometimes he gets your attention by you losing your house. Or losing a child, or losing a husband, a wife, or mother, or son. God gets his attention. Now Jonah death. Look, there are three things, you know, we are made. We study with the young people. We are made of three things. And I show them what the doctor said in the screen of the monitor. And the doctors only know two things. Knows just the body and the mind. But God said we have a soul. See, so I show them we'll have a great time. Look at the same thing here. There was an emotional death in verse 7. When my soul, chapter 2 of Jonah, verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. See, he was an emotional death. An emotional death. I had no more resources of myself. And he some claps. It wasn't a spiritual death. Look in verse 4. When he prayed, he said, I am cast out of thy sight. You know what that means in the Old Testament? When the expression is cast out of thy sight, that's a strong expression. That means you are no longer a child of God. Look at in verse 4. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He still have hope. He's a child of God. So there is a spiritual death. And there is a physical death. Look in verse 6. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. He doesn't see a way out. He doesn't see a way out. Physical death. He doesn't see a way out. I'm with bars. He maybe saw the place where the fish eat, and he saw there is no way out. And he said, that's it. It's unbelievable. I'm just gone. That was a total death. Was in a spiritual death because he disobeyed the Lord. You know, each time we disobey the Lord, we are separated from the Lord. Each time that we take a choice of our own, rather than what is written here, we disobey the Lord and we are separating the Lord. Was it total? Total, Jonah was not partially encaptured. He was totally isolated from the world outside him. This man was a pastor. This man was a preacher. This man was a prophet. See, not even a pastor can get around and do what he wants to. Jonah's death. Now, how did Jonah get out of the trouble? What did he do? Well, look at verse 2. Chapter 2. Then verse 2. And said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he hear me. Out of the belly of hell cry I, and thou heardest my voice. It's not that encouraging. Look, in our Wednesday night on prayer meeting, we have a prayer list, and then the heading of that prayer list is Second Chronicles. You can turn over there. So I want you to see it with your own eyes. Second Chronicles chapter 7. In verse 14. Now remember what Jonah said. He said, I cried out of hell. And that's not a miracle. The miracle is that he hear me. See, you don't have to become good in order for God to hear you. You just cry whatever you are. And look at what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Tremendous words of wisdom. If my people, talking about the people of God, which are called by my name, and that reminds me of Acts 11:26, where the people of God were called Christians in Antioch, shall humble themselves and pray. See, Jonah will not humble himself when he was in the boat. Jonah will not humble himself when the storm. Jonah will not humble himself when he was at the edge of that boat and going to push him. Jonah will not humble himself when he went into the ocean. He humbled himself when he saw himself with no way out. Boy, that's too long. That's too far. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, said God, I will hear from heaven. And what are you going to do, God? I will forgive their sin, the sin of disobedience. And what else are you going to do? And I'm going to heal the land. I'm going to restore them. I'm going to bring them back to zero, back to where it was before, like nothing happened. So he prayed to God. He prayed to God. Sometimes when I tell people, well, here's the solution for your life. You pray. That sounds so simple. And psychologists said, it's because you are weak and you cannot do anything yourself, so you need crutches for getting out of the trouble. Whatever you call it, crutches or whatever, you pray. The Bible says if you pray with a humble heart, then you're out of trouble. You know why? God hear you. How many times can you say in your life, I pray about this and God hear me? Young people, believe me. I have prayed for exams. I study like crazy, but I always, the first 3 minutes in an exam, I don't know anything. I'm just shaking. But after 5 minutes, I relax. But I have prayed because I study, and I have come successfully. How many of you have prayed because of a distress, and you get the answer from the Lord? You need to humble yourself. Let me ask you, how many hours of the day do you pray? We have night and day, that's 24 hours. How many hours do we pray? How many hours after dinner do you pray? How many minutes? See, we are so independent in America that we need no God. We need no God until we have an affliction. That's God getting our attention, don't we? He prayed. Not only he prayed, look at verse 9, he praised the Lord. He praised the Lord. Look at verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. That's prayer. I will pay that that I have vowed, that is giving. And then salvation is of the Lord. I rejoice in. Now, praise involves three things. If you are in the evening service, you learn the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, in the last study, we learn about how to worship God. Let me show you, because most of you are not here, so I give you a little shot for free. Matthew chapter 11. All right? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew 3, Matthew 2, verse 11. Now I got it. Matthew 2, verse 11. The Bible said when they were come into the house, they saw, this is the wise men from the east, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. You see that? Now, what they have done to worship the Lord Jesus? Three things. Number one, look at what they did. They give him, opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gold. That is your resources. Gold is the international money. And that is honoring God with your substance. That's worshiping. That's what we have, worship service here. And we bring our offering. Not because of we need it. It's because neither God needed it. It's because we want to worship the Lord with our offering. If you do not worship God with your offering, you are not learning yet to worship God. David said, I will never give God anything that costs me nothing. You know, somebody said, I give you this to you. And he said, oh, no. I will never offer to God anything that costs me nothing. Tremendous. And then also, they give him incense. Incense in the Bible is a picture of the prayers. And so they pray, and then myrrh is a mixture that is used in Egypt, or was used in Egypt, for embalming a dead body, projecting then the Lord Jesus as Savior. And so when they worship the Lord, they worship the Lord with their substance, they worship the Lord with their prayer, and they worship the Lord by acknowledging Him as Savior. And now Jonah did the same thing in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. And I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. That's prayer. I will pay that thy vow to you. That is giving. Salvation is of the Lord, he said in 2 chapter 2 of Jonah, and verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. That is projecting his praise to God. The salvation is of God. So Jonah prayed. Then he praised the Lord. It's not something that I know this. The people are in distress and they pray. They ask me to pray. They ask our brethren to pray. We pray. And then things happen because we pray. And those people forget the Lord. You never see them again. I tell my wife either, I'm not communicating well, and we need another pastor who speaks better English. Because, see, if I pray, if my brethren pray, and you get well, you become crazy about the Lord. That should be the natural reaction. But the people go on our way. I got what I want. Forget about it. I don't want to be in their shoes, though. But you see what I mean? We praise the Lord. After you pray, and after God restores your life, then you go crazy about Him. You praise the Lord. And then in verse 9, He promised something. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice. I will sacrifice unto thee. He promised the Lord. Lord, I know that going to Nineveh was not a fun trip. Was no vacation. Was not going to my shared time over there. Lord, I know that going to Nineveh was not easy. I know some of you drive a long way to come to this church, and I praise God for that. Because part of that is a sacrifice of giving to God. If this is your choice, and this is your church, and this is what you have made in your mind that God and you and your family have prayed and have said, this is our church, I'm thankful for that. But that demands responsibility on your part. To be a member of a church is not just to have a name in a church, is to be an element in which God can use it to bring others into the church. And some of you drive a long way, and that's a sacrifice unto God. You have to spend, some of you even bought big cars because you have a large family. God has blessed you. And you're so enthusiastic about this. And that's a blessing to me when I see it, because part of the faithfulness. But you know, our church service is not only 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. It's at 2:30, it's at 4 o'clock, it's at 6 o'clock. It's on Wednesday night when we gather together and we pray for each other, just mad in love of each other. Can we have a church who's in love with each other? And we pray for each other, and then we see the glory of God and His answers, and then we don't run away. We praise Him. We praise Him. That's what Jonah did. And then we promise Him, say, Lord, use me. Use me. Have you ever? I one time say it, and I got in real trouble. I was a super engineer working for the super company. Peacefully, 5 o'clock I was home, sometime at 2 o'clock, and I went roller skating with my daughter in the beaches over there in Alameda. Beautiful life. And I said, Lord, I want to serve you. I remember I say that when I was 20 years old. And the very thing that happened in a church of 1,500 people in Oakland, one Sunday, we came to the service, four pastors, the four were sick. Nobody knew about it. And you know how deacons go crazy when something like that happened. The church was packed. And I hear somebody tapping me in the shoulders. He said, we don't care how you sound in English or not, but can you give a testimony? You're a foreign man. We don't have any pastor here. So, oh, I can give you more than testimony. I can tell you why God created the moon. I just didn't study. Oh, go ahead. And so I did. The service was supposed to be 45 minutes, an hour and a half. I enjoy it. But the next morning, the head pastor of the church, my pastor, Dr. Archer Weniger, came to my office and said, you leave this place and you come to the seminary. You have blessed our church. Now, God sent that man because I went to work in Bethel Corporation, not with physics books. I went to work with my Bible because I wanted to read my Bible lunchtime. I never repented. So God, I'm so happy. Whatever I promise you now comes to do. So I said, I had to talk to my wife about it. And my wife, I remember the day that she said to me in the service, I'm ready. And we walked forward to dedicate our life, it was 1971, to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You delay for so long until God pressed you. In my case, was not a pressure of taking things away, it was a reverse. Was saying, giving me things. Who was making $110 an hour in 1968? Nobody. But I was making that money. And giving me more, and giving me more, and more, and more. That's pressure. Because when God said, leave everything, I said to the pastor, how do I do this? Very simple. You sign and resign, and you're working. You go over there. And he said, how am I going to leave? With all your resources. What resources? Your saving account. Put it on the table, he said, for the Lord. Man, you tough pastor. German, you know, tough man. I did. And then when we had no more, my wife went to work so that I can finish my doctorate. And we did it. You know something? I never repented. The Lord gave me more, twice more of what I had before. Isn't that fantastic? And on this whole thing, he kept the beautiful promise of giving a godly husband to my wife, to my daughter, which I dream in my life. When you have a daughter, you're scared to death. And God gave a wonderful husband. And now I have three crowns grandchildren. Isn't that fantastic? But first, the Lord has to press you. Sometimes the pressure is taken away. Sometimes the pressure says giving you. Brother and sister, let us together. Do not leave the Lord. Do not get distracted by the things of this world. Perform as the best you can in this world. Yes, children, study as the best you can. Get the best works you can done. You are able to do. But listen, give to God the priority in your life. Give God a day. Psalm 58, verse 13 said, mine is the Sabbath, said the Lord. Give God a day. If you don't do it, God's going to pressure you. God's going to pressure you. God's going to move you. The reason why people are not in church is because they're too comfortable. How come in a hospital when I go over there visit somebody and I say to the next person, you want me to pray for you? Oh yes, pray for me. Nobody denied. Everybody wants prayer. Because they're afflicted. If I go to a restaurant, a rich restaurant in San Francisco, and I say, anybody want prayer? I say, get out here. Take that guy away from here. They throw me through the window. You see that? The Lord is wonderful. He used Jonah's examples. He put Jonah in captivity. He put Jonah in a corner until he got his attention. And when Jonah says, it's me, God, all right, it's your God. Get out of here and work. And the Bible said in chapter 3, verse 1, that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach for me, will you? And verse 3 says, Jonah arose. He learned the lesson. As I close this morning, as I close before prayer, let me ask you, what will need to take place in your life so that God get your attention? What will need to take place in your life so that God
get your attention. Some of the troubles you go through are nothing more than God's plan so that you can look up. Say, God's me. Deliver me from this. Let me obey you. Oh, may God give you a heart like that. Some of you are difficult for you to come on Wednesday night. Give it to the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, should I go to pray or not? Can you pray to the Lord like that? Say, Lord, should I go to the house to pray or not? Can you pray like that? I'm hot in this. I want to see the whole church on Wednesday night. Because if we have the whole church praying, then God's going to give us a great ministry. See, I don't want a show in the church. I want to have a ministry of the word. And we need to dedicate together. We need to get an effort together. We need to work together. And the first thing we need to do is be sensitive to God's will. And God has established the will for you. Sundays of the Lord. You are a member of a church who say, Wednesday we pray. And then you should be there. I talk to you as your pastor because I love you. I tell you, what will need to take place in your life until God gets your attention? Oh, Heavenly Father, listen to us. You were good to Jonah. But Jonah went through hell. He said it. From hell he prayed. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And help us not to disobey you in such a way that we will be like an in hell. And nevertheless, when we cry, we always have a God. Thank you, Father. Help your people to be faithful. Help your people to obey your voice. Cause your people to look up and be people who obey the mighty God of heaven. And then things will start happening to us. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you gave us the example of Jonah. Yes, he disobeyed. Yes, he prayed. Yes, you listen. Lord, listen to us. Heal our life that we may obey you and enjoy the company of your people so that others may come into the kingdom. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen.
Then bends the clothes beheld in sin's crooked sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world holds today. I'd rather
as we close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have a word written for us with a message for us. Oh, help us, oh God, not to go to the extremes of Jonah, but to recover our life, to pray, to serve you, to fulfill our promise. Thank you, Father, that you're looking for those that with a humble heart will turn to you. Oh, heal our families. Give us thy power that we may be thy witness. In Jesus we pray. Amen.